It seems earlier than it is, but it's the news, according to me. Well, I am, this is Friday morning, February 25th, 8 o'clock in the morning, and for some reason, it just feels like 6 o'clock in the morning. Even my dogs didn't get me up at 6 o'clock this morning. They slept in. They looked like they were tired. Been a long week, I guess. I don't know. And it hasn't been that long. It's been a normal week. I don't know. I mean, as far as, you know, hours in the week, it's the same. I don't know. We were kind of busy, though. Kind of a busy week for the dogs. And for myself. So we had a lot going on. Listened to some interesting news this morning about... I listened to all these news places, and I'm eating breakfast. I listen to them in fast speed, so I can pick up everything that they're. I can get the nuggets of stuff that they're saying without having to listen to all the, you know, taking a breath to say something. I don't like to listen to that. Just give me the facts, ma'am. The one subject none of them ever talk about. Which just astounds me and amazes me. Nobody ever brings it up. They never talk about what is in my cup. This morning I just have Lipton tea with it's mostly sugar with some tea in it. And then I have to douse honey on top of that. You know, that way the sugar mixes in better. I'm pretty sure that's you need to do that. And I always put a splash of... I can't remember if I put a splash of coconut oil in there this morning. I don't think I did. That's not good for my heart. Because I'm all about health. Yeah, I try. But anyway, I'm kind of, you know, everything in moderation, including exercise. Once every couple months, take a brisk walk. Keep it on the down low. Not really, folks. Studies have shown that you need to. By the way, I'm not a doctor. I'm not a lawyer. I'm not an epidemiologist. I'm not a geopolitical engineer. I'm not a societal engineer. I'm not any kind of engineer. I'm not a. I'm just a guy with a microphone who shares his opinions based on 60 years of life experience. That's all I've got. That's all I got for you. And if that ain't good enough, then you need to, you know, move along. Nothing to see here. We have, I have on the show this morning. It always makes it seem like a bigger operation here when I say it. I've got to talk to my engineer. My engineer's waving at me over there, which is just me waving at myself in a mirror. I don't even have a mirror here. So it's just me waving at a pretend mirror, acting like somebody's waving at me. Telling me to change the subject. If I just like to imagine that I'm like a big shot at some big studio with some big producer over there telling me, you know, time to move along, keeping me in line. I don't have that. There's nobody here to keep me in line, which is, I would say, could be quite dangerous, I guess, to some degree. Just knowing that there's people out there listening to this keeps me in line enough. That's probably more than enough. That's scary. That anybody would actually listen to this. But they never talk about what's in my cup. So I just wanted to get that off my chest this morning. So it's Friday. Let's talk about some headlines. Well, first let's talk about Omicron. I think it's BA2. BA1 was the first, variants of Omicron. Now, it's interesting. I was listening to John Campbell this morning, Dr. John Campbell, the British guy. Every time I mention his name to anybody, if they've heard him before, what, is that the British guy? Yeah. Yeah, he's a British guy. I'm just going to say John Campbell, the British guy. That way they know that I'm talking about the same John Campbell. Apparently, there's a lot of John Campbells out there. Maybe he's the guy who owns Campbell's Soup. I haven't really looked into that. I didn't even think about that. He has been pushing the whole soup thing, you know, for drink more soup. Need to drink more. Right at the end, he says, drink more soup. Oh, he didn't say that. Now, this guy is, so we have this Omicron variant. He said, interestingly enough, according to the records and statistics, he said Omicron did not come from Delta. The original thought of this was that there was a variant from Delta because Delta was the dominant strain and it was out there everywhere. Well, this Omicron thing came out of the blue and it did not come from Delta. So the question is, where was it hiding? Where was it as it was mutating? Now, his conclusion was that it potentially came from, well, they're pretty sure it came from it was an animal mutation of some sort. It was, and they believe it might have been in mice. Of course, this all happened in Africa. But it's odd that it came about after, there's something going on here. It goes beyond, and I want to write a book called Evidence of Things Unseen, which is called The Conspiracy, but maybe the subtitle is Evidence of Things Unseen. When things like this happen, and it's, oh, what a coincidence kind of things, or the obvious changes, there's something more going on. And yes, there are things in nature that are hard to explain, just in nature in general. But when certain events are timed exactly, happen at certain times. I was thinking about this. And there are harbingers, and then there are things that happen that affect and sometimes redirect the course of human history. And it's just, I just don't think there's any, I don't think there's a coincidence there. There's also things that happen in society that I think sometimes are motivated by a certain spirit. And we see the evidence of that spirit doing its job, regardless of whether or not people are talking about it or not. They're still motivated by this specific. I wanted to say the word specific and particular both at the same time. Particular. I come up with new words here all the time. It's a treasure trove of the English language here at the News According to Me. It should be called the English Language According to Me. That's going to be my next show. The English Language According to Me. I think the sugar's kicking in. Starting to talk fast. Faster than my mouth will move. I forgot to stretch out this morning with my mouth. I had to do some warm-up exercises. Oh, la, la, la. Yeah, got to do all this stuff. There are some interesting exercises, warm-up exercises that people do for voiceover work. It's quite interesting. And it actually is effective. I've noticed that I can pronounce words and be more articulate if I work through some of those warm-up exercises. Because your face has a whole bunch of muscles in it. I'm trying to stretch around here. There's a lot of muscles in my face. The face has a lot of muscles, and so you got to get them, working before you can really do all that pronunciation stuff. But I struggle with it enough the way it is. But so. We have this war breaking out, and that's kind of taking the news cycle. However, there's an very interesting statistics right now with the Omicron thing. So BA1 was a much more, I think it was 40% more, I can't remember what all the percentages were, much more, transmissible in people. That's why it kind of took over, the kind of pushed Delta out, and because of it actually giving you immunity to Delta. There's some interesting things on immunity as well. So I've been hearing some people talk, and they're just flat out wrong. So I'm going to try to correct the record here real quick. According to statistics, according to John Campbell, now I'm not, and of course, I'm not a John Campbell, I'm not a lawyer. I'm not a professional of any sort. Well, I guess I'm of some sort, but not this sort. Not any sort that matters in anything I say. That's a disclaimer, folks. It's just a disclaimer. That's all it is. So they have the Omicron variant kind of took over because it was more transmissible. So then they had BA, what's called BA1, and there's BA2. There's a new strain of Omicron. I'll call it a strain. I'm not sure if that's the particular word, a new something of Omicron. And it is BA2. It's even more transmissible, about 10% more transmissible. In case studies, of course, the question is, can you get it more than once? The case studies right now show that out of 1.8 million people in this study that they did, 47 of those people got Omicron a second time. 47 out of 1.8 million. So the odds are extremely low. And of course, even some of those numbers are probably askew because there's a very good chance that there was what they call contaminated testing, which is it doesn't mean the test itself was contaminated, but the outcome or the, you know, there may have been something else that interfered with the results of those tests. So there may not have even been 47. You can test positive because you have something else. It's kind of a little bit of a, there's some error in the science. And we follow the science, of course. Interestingly enough, this bug is not in the same family as the flu virus. And people are trying to associate it with that, and it's not actually the case. It's been, as I understand, at least the way it's been explained from several different experts, of which I am not, I might want to reiterate here. They are claiming that it is more akin to the SARS virus. And the SARS virus had right now they're showing that people are still showing immunity to the SARS virus 17 years later. Now, natural immunity has not been it's been poo-pooed. Let's just say it's not been very well respected among the medical establishment bureaucrats in this country. Two things. One is that apparently for a year, there have been experts saying that the interval from having the first two shots to having your booster has been way too close. They are basically saying, no, the booster shouldn't be as closely following after the initial two shots as that's been, especially in ages 12 to 39. Interesting studies in the whole 12 to 39 category. They're trying to weigh out the benefit of the vaccine over it's myocarditis, I think I'm pronouncing it right, the heart issues that are happening, blood and heart issues. And they're struggling to make this benefit. Now, if it's just, well, there's one more person died from COVID than died from myocarditis. So it's still a better benefit. It's better. It far outweighs the benefits. That one person. It does, but it's really? So the interesting thing is now that the CDC now finally has come out and acknowledged that the interval between the first two shots and the booster are too close, even though experts have been telling that for a long time. In this country, anyway, other countries, they've been spacing out that the booster thing much, much longer. I think Israel may not have, but this is, you have to understand, these bureaucrats are being very pro-vaccine because they're heavily invested in this thing. This is where the corruption falls in this whole thing. And it's, people keep asking, why are they not giving natural immunity any kind of credibility whatsoever? And well, there's this disinformation out there. I'll call it what it is. I probably get canceled for this. That natural immunity wanes much faster, or wanes at the same rate as the vaccination. And that is not true at all. Not according to the numbers, not according to the studies done with actual numbers. Now, if these numbers aren't correct, if CDC and other countries, in Denmark, I guess, Denmark has been one of the better realistic number keepers. They've been doing a very good job. The Danish, that whole area over there has been doing, the Swedes have been doing a really good job too, apparently, of keeping records in terms of realistic records, not people dying with COVID, but dying of COVID. They've been differentiating their level of data is much more precise in the way they report and all the information that's available, because they have a much more broader scope of information that they collect on everybody. So this has been, it's been interesting to see this stuff. But now what happened, apparently, is that the CDC has increased the interval, as well as that now they're saying that natural immunity should be recognized. Now, it's overwhelming what's happening with Omicron, because literally, we talk about herd immunity here. We're at a point where I think cases are down like 60%. Deaths are down, way down. Now, in the United States, for some reason, we're still above average with deaths. And it's confounding some of the people who are keeping track of statistics. So why is the U.S. still higher than average with the death rate? I have some suspicions about that. I think it's because of the way we record the deaths, as well as the way we... And there's motivation to record them incorrectly, because there's financial gain there. So there's some things happening behind the scenes with that that's far more political than it certainly should be. But the fact is that regulations and restrictions are dropping like hot potatoes all over the world, all over the globe. Which is a good sign. I'm hoping that by the middle of March, we're not even talking about this anymore. However, those of us who went through this and saw the ridiculous tyranny, the spirit of participate or be excommunicated. And there's literally a video I saw of a teacher, didn't know she was being videoed, exclaiming that she hopes all the Christians die from COVID. Predominantly among the Christian church, it's been, I would say there's a pretty high percentage of people who are Christians who are opposed to the mandates. Among more fundamental Christian churches. But it varies. It's so variable. I know pastors who I would have thought would be totally opposed to the vaccine altogether. They're pro-vaccine. Some of them are against the mandates. Some of them are for the mandates. But they've surprised me with their reaction to this whole thing. And it's a little bit unnerving. So the lines, you know, are very unclear in terms of who's drawing what conclusions of this whole thing and the side that they choose to be on. So I'm not pro or anti-vax. I think it's your choice. That's the whole point. It needs to be an individual's choice. And you say, well, you're affecting society and the people around you. No. Yeah, but no. Every day we affect the society around us. And you can't stop someone from driving down the street because, well, people die from car accidents. And there's all kinds of things that you can't go down this road of, you know, there has to be a risk assessment and it has to be realistic, and you have to show some scientific evidence that I am endangering someone by doing what I'm doing or not doing what I'm doing. There has to be some realistic evidence there, and there isn't any. Masks, in some areas, masks are flying off of everybody. Mask restrictions. No mask restrictions anywhere. No bar. I think it's out in California, I believe. In just a couple of days, they're going to drop all the mask restrictions, except for schools and some other places. Except for the kids. Keep those kids' mouths covered up. Because, you know, we got to keep them living in fear. And their development has to be, they're now showing the studies are wide open, very, very clear that it is affecting their development, their ability to speak, and their ability to socially interact with each other. We're going to have an entire probably generation, and some of these kids are afraid to take their masks off. They're scared. They've been so ingrained in them that this is dangerous, and they, you know, of course you see it. Well, all you have to do is see one movie on some kind of outbreak or something, you know, some bubonic plague thing that kills everybody, and that's all they have to see, and then all of a sudden everybody's scared. And that fear is being transferred from their parents and from people around them, the adults around them. Gotta keep you safe. And now the science is changing because the science that we were told just the other day on CNN, the science has changed because now apparently just if you want to wear a mask, it protects you from people who aren't wearing one. All of a sudden that happened. We were kind of been saying that for the last 2 years, and that's not been, well, in fact, just a year and a half, because it's only been about the first 6 months of this thing. Masks were, you know, nobody should be walking around wearing a mask. Oh, now you should wear a mask. Maybe you should wear two. Well, you know, another layer just makes sense. Senator Paul, you do not know what you're talking about. No, he did. He did know what he was talking about. He was telling the absolute truth. Fauci was lying to Congress. You can't manipulate the definition of a word in your documents and then say, well, see, we weren't doing that. By definition, you were doing that. Just the way you wanted to redefine it. This is the apparatus mundi, whatever they call it. This is a standard operating procedure for the leftists. Well, all we have to do is redefine this. Just redefine what unemployment is. We'll just redefine what gender is. We'll just redefine all this stuff, what history is, whatever it is. Let's redefine it, and that way we can just call it something else. And say, we're not doing it. Well, we're not flying people around in the middle of the night, moving immigrants around and putting them in places in the middle of the night. It's just very early in the morning. 2 o'clock in the morning, it's not middle of the night. It's just 2 o'clock in the morning. It's just very early. It's a very early flight. Maybe earlier than you want to take a flight, but it's not middle of the night. When exactly is the middle of the night? That's what we were told by, but circle back. So why do we, you know, it's all a big propaganda machine. And the biggest propaganda machine, and this is, you have to understand, you want to talk about people, you know, equating things to Hitler and his regime and the Nazis. I'm not sure what I went to the Holocaust Museum, and when I was there, the basement is usually – the basement part of the Holocaust Museum is – it changes. They change the theme occasionally. During that time I was there, the theme was all about propaganda and how they used the media, posters, radio at that time, and then, of course, newspaper media, any kind of printed material. It was huge. Everybody got a newspaper then. That was the internet back then. And, of course, there was, even back then, there was all the talk of, it's just because it's printed on paper, it doesn't mean it's, there was a lot of mistrust and distrust even in the newspapers. Same people running the show. There's still propagandists and social engineers. So the Nazi regime was very good at this whole propaganda thing. I mean, don't think it's been around just for the last couple of years. This has been in the mix for a long time. Politicians who buddy up to these people in the media give them special access so that they will put their story out. It's one back scratches the other kind of relationship here. And right now, it's the leftists and the establishment that are... The establishment Republicans, unfortunately, they think that they can get in this in-crowd thing. And they are just... They're stooges. They're being used. Kinzinger and... what's her name? They don't even realize they're being used by the left. Well, see, we have Republicans here that are saying that he's a bad guy. Trump is a bad guy. But they agree with 90% of everything that the Democrats are saying. It's all about getting Trump. It's this derangement syndrome thing that's going on. And they don't see, they can't see 2 feet in front of them. They can't understand the people that they're actually running around with and buddying up to. I guess because they want some kind of job at CNN when they get unelected here in this next cycle. It just amazes me. But it shouldn't, because I've been around long enough to know that's the way it works. So that's the way it goes. So we have, by the way, there's a war breaking out in Ukraine. And I don't mean to, I'm not dismissing this thing as insignificant, or that we shouldn't care. Let me be very clear where I stand with this so that I can kind of try to be, you can understand why I have the attitude I have. I am, first of all, disgusted at our current administration and everything that has happened that has led up to this. People are dying, and they shouldn't be. The news media now is blaming Trump and blaming Tucker Carlson for cheerleading Putin. It's not at all what they're doing. The left, it pretends to be anti-war, and yet they're the ones getting us into these messes. And they're blaming Trump for this. Because he's cheerleading Putin. You see, they can't see past their rage for this guy. They still think Trump is a Putin puppet. Really? They've claimed in open headlines that any deaths that happen now in Ukraine are on Trump's hands. Sometimes it blows my mind the way they can twist this stuff into a story that meets their little agenda, which is exactly what they're doing. And yet that's what they're doing. It just confounds me the way they can twist their brains into some kind of a knot that ends up with this kind of an idea. Now, one of the things that's going to happen, I know that what's kind of strange here, and I'm just going to put this out there for you to think about. Sometimes I like to, you know, shift my paradigm around a little bit, get a little different perspective and think, you know, from all sides of this thing. What could be potential possibilities of this whole thing? You know, there's a huge investigation that's just kind of lurking about the whole Hunter Biden Burisma thing. The influence that he was being, that was being bought by the Ukrainians and other bad actors through the bagman of Hunter Biden to his access to his father, the former vice president. And so we have all this stuff going on in Ukraine now. If Putin comes in and takes over Ukraine, if he is successful in annexing them in under the barrel of a gun, what do you think might happen with all those investigations, all those people that were involved in trying to find out what was happening there with Burisma and Hunter Biden? Well, that investigation is not going to happen, is it? So it pretty much shuts down the whole thing in Ukraine. What a nice coincidence for the Biden family. So I'm just saying, that's one facet of this. And I played some stuff on last night's show. If you didn't get a chance to see it or hear it, I got pretty specific about some of the things that are happening in Ukraine, some of the statements that have been made by Circleback and some of her, you know, the administration itself, and some of the things they said about sanctions initially. Now what they're saying about sanctions is different. So it's been one of those, it's difficult to pry through this whole thing. And one of the reasons I am more, I guess there's a sense of sobriety about the whole thing, and it's kind of this, just more of a I hope I don't come across as cynical about it or uncaring, because we definitely need to be praying for the people of Ukraine right now and the people of Russia and the surrounding areas, just everybody in the world, basically. But this whole area, everything that's happening there, the stress, the fear, the uncertainty, the death that is happening there. I guess they're allowing women and children to take off. They're arming all the men, making them stay. I'm not sure I want to have people stay that don't want to stay. But I understand it. It's going to be interesting to see what happens there. But it's definitely... I saw this one... One headline says the West is slapping Putin with a wet lettuce by throwing some sanctions at him. They're basically, this is Sky News Australia, they're basically belittling the whole idea of sanctions and what that means to Putin. Putin's fully aware of what the potential is for what's happening. You don't think he's been analyzing the cost-benefit analysis on this whole thing. So I guess the Capitol now is being threatened Ukraine's capital is being threatened. And it's, this is getting to the point where it is, you know, extremely serious on an international level. Don't forget, we have people that were telling us back in, you know, was it 2000? Was it 2008? It wasn't 2008. When was it? It was 2012 when Romney ran. Yeah, it was 2012 when Romney ran. And of course, Obama was very Satoru. He was very clear. Very, you know, got that one zinger in there where he said, hey, the 80s called and they want their foreign policy back. I guess that wasn't so funny now, is it? Kind of like those shovel-ready projects. I guess shovel-ready wasn't as shovel-ready as I thought. Speaking of shovel-ready, I saw a video the other day of Pete Buttigieg. Known very well in this area. He's in the news every day here. Great guy, very well known, very much loved here in South Bend. Not. He was out in a video. This is back when he was mayor. Out there with his shovel, putting asphalt on some potholes, helping fill potholes with a shovel. And of course, it was all done for the camera. His hands weren't dirty, so this was only his like one shovel full that he put in this pothole thing just for the news. Came out, was, you know, one of the working boys out there. They're finding all kinds of really bad dirt information on this guy, and all of a sudden all the payola and the gifts and all that stuff that was going on behind the scenes for all the contracts that he got are starting to bubble up. Of course, that nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that. Well, that just happens because, you know, that's just the way it works. That's just human nature. You want to give gifts to people who help them out. That's what we're being told. If it would have been Trump, they'd be impeaching him for a 12th time over it. By the way, I guess there's a real push right now among the Republicans to impeach Biden over this whole thing. And there are certain traps out there, and I'm not real gung ho about the Freedom Convoy thing. I'm supportive of it. I'm not sure what we're pushing for here. It's not a real clear message other than, hey, they did it up in Canada. Let's do it here. Beyond that, I'm not sure exactly what this is about. I understand that they want freedom. They want to show a show of strength. I get that. The mandates are kind of going away. They're not going to allow them in DC proper. They can go out in the Beltway and drive around, make their protest. It's just, to me, it's within the Beltway, it's just going to be business as usual. You're not, you know, okay, so you made a statement. So you got 40,000 trucks driving around the Capitol on the bypass. That's great. They don't care. And that's all I'm saying. It's not even a photo op. It's just, you know, they might have a helicopter take a picture or a drone take a picture of something and then next subject. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong about this whole thing. Maybe there is some kind of big effect this is going to have on society and things are going to change. I don't see it. Unfortunately, this thing's, you know, shrinking back into the woods right now. But the problem is there's going to be a next time. And Bill Gates has already told us for the next pandemic, there will be another pandemic. He's very pragmatic about that. There will be another pandemic and we need to be prepared for it. So next time when this happens, they're going to be ready. They're going to crank down even more. They're going to find a way to make this to take more steps to take away our liberties and make sure that they keep us in check and control us. Now, there's an interesting theory out here, and I have to say this. I know it's wacky, crazy, Laney, you know, it's one of those Laney brainy things. Think about this. Okay, so Bill Gates, big software computer tycoon guy. Everybody thought he was going to be the Antichrist. Not everybody, but there were some people who were saying that. And maybe he is. I don't know. But the interesting thing is that there's this idea out there that there are things in this vaccine. I mean, there's been people who've looked at the vaccine and under microscopes and found things there that just like, what is this doing here? What are these chemicals doing in here? And they're, I don't know if they're being honest or not. I don't know if they're honest or not. But okay, let's go down this road for a second. There are, since I'm doing things with paradigm shifts and all this stuff, what if somehow they were able to inject something in your body and your whole body becomes like this RFID chip? Rather than having an actual chip in your body now contains stuff in it via the vaccine from Moderna, which was never been successful producing any kind of vaccine prior to this. All of a sudden, gets FDA approval in record time and everybody's getting it. Now, think about this. If it were some way, now the way an RFID chip works is not, it doesn't have any power. It doesn't have a battery in it. It vibrates at a certain frequency when a certain frequency, it's hit by a certain frequency. And it reverberates, or whatever you want to call it. It responds. I'm putting this in very basic general. Once again, I'm not an engineer. I'm not an electronic guy. I'm just telling you what I think about this. I could be way off and wrong. I'm sure I'll be corrected if I am by somebody. I don't know who, but somebody's going to correct me. I don't ever read any comments, so I'm not sure where comments even show up. Nobody. I never get any notices that I have any comments anymore. So I don't know what happens to all that stuff. So I had this weird thought. What if there's some kind of little metallic chemical or something being put into people's bodies? And you can literally, this is being an experiment. This is not too far off, folks, because it's been well known and well documented that the Russians were trying this on their people. They were actually trying it on other people. And it's been happening in other countries where some of our ambassadors have actually gotten sick because of, they have these sound waves. And it's well documented. You can look at all the different reports on experiments that the military has done and other countries, the non-lethal stuff. They can aim these sound waves at people, speakers that put out this sound wave that make you instantly sick, instantly ill to your stomach. They can change your mood. They can change the way you feel instantly by hitting you with these sound waves. And that's without any kind of catalyst in your body. That's just, it hits you and just does that, has that effect on you. What if there is a way to potentially control a person's thoughts or control their feelings, their emotions, if you have something in them that, you know, when you hit them with a particular sound wave, or you could even just the ability to identify them, the sound wave. Now, I've noticed that there's an interesting thing. Of course, they've got all this mask stuff going on. Everybody's masked now. It's all natural to be masked now. It used to be if you'd walk around in a crowd with a mask on, you were like, oh, is that the thug? That's a thug over there. He's got a mask on. Doesn't want to be recognized. Well, now it's, oh, that guy's over there. He's there to protect me. He's saving the world because he's got a mask on. He's lighting that trash can on fire, but I'm pretty sure he's really responsible because he's got a mask on. Thank you for wearing a mask. Such a good person. So it gives them impunity now to wear a mask. Now, the same thing, I've noticed that with my facial recognition on my phone, because I pick up my phone and I've got this facial recognition thing, and it automatically opens if it recognizes my face. If I'm wearing a mask, it has a hard time with that. Once in a while, it will, but usually it doesn't. 99% of the time, it will not. Now, I've also noticed that I have a couple pairs of sunglasses. If I'm wearing one of those pairs of sunglasses, facial recognition does not work at all, like 100% of the time. So the technology that they're using right now is telling me that there are ways around some of this stuff. And now, however, if they have this, if your body becomes an RFID, let's look at this. Because I keep saying this, I think it's RFID. I probably got it wrong because we're old people when I was a kid. RFID installation, RFID wallet. RFID. Yeah, that's not a thing. So RFID. There you go. Yeah. So if your body becomes an RFID chip, and you can identify your body through this thing, they could just basically scan a crowd and know, you know, the name of every person in that crowd. Because that somehow they're going to have to, you know, have a registry. So there's not, and it's not that there's any information other than a number, basically, in this RFID thing. The RFID chip has a number. When it resonates, the RFID reader reads that vibration, and that vibration is, in and of itself, a unique identifier, and that therefore they can, that's identified with that particular chip. Now, there are literally billions and billions and billions of these being created, being manufactured, and they're very simple. And every single one of them has a different ID in it. And now if you look at, you know, well, there's not enough numbers in the world to make that happen. Well, yeah, there's plenty of numbers, folks. There's an infinite number of numbers that we know of, but you can't prove that. It's one of the holes in math. Can't prove it without getting to the end of them. Since you can't get to the end of them, there's no way of knowing if there's an end to them. Kind of like driving down a road. You don't know where it ends because you've never been there until you get there. And then you find out that there's an end to the road, for sure. But if there's until you find it, there's no end. You don't know where the end is. It's all theory. But if you don't get to the end of the road and you keep on driving, you just keep on driving forever. There's no end to that road. But you don't know that because you can't get to the end because you've never been to the end. You can hypothesize, which is a big word. Anyway, so this has been a big, long show about nothing. Pretty much, which I figured it probably would be because it's just kind of Friday. So how do we respond? How do we act here with this whole thing with what's going on in Ukraine? And the reason I'm kind of, I guess, disgusted and dismissive about it is because I see it as a big smokescreen. Not that it's not serious, not that it's not a serious issue, but the news media will now use this to change the narrative any given time. It gives them something else to talk about. And they still have a way to weave Trump into it and blame him and keep this narrative going. Interesting, I was talking about this the other day. Speaking of Trump, there's this prosecution thing going on in Manhattan or wherever it is in Long Island, wherever, I don't know where it is, in New York somewhere. And apparently some prosecutors have resigned and not given any statements at all publicly. I'm not sure what's going on here. There was a new AG or whatever it was, prosecuting attorney that came into the whole thing. And I don't know if who was overseeing the whole thing, he either wanted their resignation or they resigned because there was nothing going forward or this, because they were going to go forward and the prosecutors realized there wasn't anything to go forward on. But nobody knows at this point why these people resigned. It's just CNN is all, this is mysterious and strange. I'm sure they're going to say Trump paid him off. Who knows? Who knows what's going on? So, anyway. That's really all I have for the show today. And I guess I do want to thank you for listening. Thank you for responding. Thank you for over the weekend, I'm not going to be around. I'm not sure I'm going to get another show in today or not. I might. We'll see what happens with the news cycle. But if I do, it will be from the world headquarters for the news, according to me. Today I'm in my home studio. The weekend coming up. Pretty busy weekend for me, and all the way through to Monday. I might be able to get a show in Monday morning early, possibly Sunday evening. Which, if I do one Sunday evening, I'll probably just post it on Monday morning. Who knows how it's going to happen? Give you all the updates on what I think about stuff. The news, you know, according to me, because that's what this is. So, Shabbat Shalom, everybody. Have a good weekend. Get a day of rest in. Continue to pray for our friends and brothers and sisters over in Ukraine. God bless everybody. Have a great day.